working for the French National Research Institute for Computer Science, and they hired me to work on Métis. Just a quick show of hands, how many of you have heard of Métis before? How many of you have actually tried it? Alright, so I'm in my spare time, I'm a Java developer working on GNOME packages and X drivers. Alright, so first I'll do a quick recap of what Métis is, what it does, what it doesn't do, where it is today, and what are some of the goals that I want to see, some of the things I want to see and want to do, work on, and some of the problems I've been having in the past 6 months. So Métis is not a 3D desktop, that's something, that's actually the name of a paper that was published about Métis. Métis has three core parts. It's actually an X server. It has a window manager. It has a compositor. So, in terms of overall architecture, it's kind of like the early Compass that had XGL. So that's very similar. Métis is first and foremost it's a research project by two French colleagues of mine. Nicolas Roussel and Olivier Chaplis. They're the two guys that started Métis in 2001, and later on, Olivier came in 2003. So it's been going on for a little while. And it's really, it's a test bed for new ideas. Basically, any wacky ideas, they come up. I work in an HCI team, so basically, any kind of wacky idea that the team is going to have about window management, desktop interactions, this sort of stuff, they kind of throw it at Métis and hopefully it'll work. Most of the time it doesn't, it's really crappy, but you know, out of every 10 ideas that they have, maybe there's one good that will stick around for longer than a couple days. So that's really the main idea behind Métis. A lot of people have been asking that question in the past couple of years or so. Métis is not meant to be competitor to Compass. First, because Métis was kind of there before. So, and then the objectives are really different. Métis is a research project. Compass is a software for distributions and for that is really meant to be stable and with a good architecture and a maintainable code. So, there's really two different objectives. But Métis is meant to be usable. I mean, what good is it if you have a window manager that crashes every 5 seconds? You can't really work with it, and sometimes you want experiments to last longer than 20 minutes. You want actually people using it, getting feedback to you, and telling you what they like, what they don't like. So it's really meant to be usable every day. I've been using it for 6 months. Olivier has been using it for about 4 years now. It is a working solution for every day. Just some quick historical background, really, just to get into a little inside view how Métis came to what it is today. First started as a toolkit, which is called Video Space, which was published in 2001. And so Video Space was a project to interact with videos, mostly in an OpenGL context. And at one point, Nicolas, the researcher who worked on videos, decided, well, why can't I just mix videos? I might want to plug in regular applications into that. So he worked on, he morphed Video Space into Amatista as a way to stream X-Window applications into his video experiments. So he was able to display regular X applications into his video compositor. So to do that, just a quick recap. This is 2003. Some of you, it's like ancient times in open source development. This is when Fedora Core came out, you know, 2.2, and to the xCrowd, it's when X386. 4.3 was released, so it's like prehistory. So how it worked is it's based on XBMC, and it was really a major hack. It's a wonder it even worked. So there was this XBMC server with homemade tiling, window manager, because XBMC only exports the global frame buffer. So basically, if you want a single texture for each window, which you do want in a compositor environment, then you would have to tile your windows next to each other so that they never overlap. And so he had to write, the tiling window manager so that the windows would sit right next to each other. And then on the compositor side, there was a 3D window manager, but it was not really a window manager. It had just very basic features like picking and moving. It wasn't really a window manager to any kind of standard you would think of. It was very primitive. But it worked. It was not usable on a day-to-day basis, but it was enough to get some really cool demos out. So now we come to Matisse. So Matisse was published, the paper was published at UST 2005. UST is an HCI conference. And so now we're back to a more traditional architecture. So there's the XMatisse server, which is based, which is a fork of X386 a couple years ago, into which was incorporated a per window frame buffer mechanism, and on top of which sits a standard window X11 window manager. In our case, it's IVWM. This one was chosen because it's very flexible. A lot of experiments have been done with the FVWM, and it has this really awkward configuration language. And when you read the configuration files, I mean, you really have to wrap your head around it. But it's very flexible, and you can do a lot of stuff. So basically, Matisse uses FVWM with a compositor plugin, which does all the OpenGL rendering like Compiz or others. And then there's not proprietary because it's all open source, but a private protocol between XMatisse and the compositor module to transfer the fix maps and everything. Of course, it uses shared memory if you're on the same machine, but there's a real protocol in between for mobile usage. I'll get to that a bit later. So the architecture for Matisse is basically like this. All of you have been using Compiz before using XCOM and Zista. Basically how it all works. You have your X applications, they contact an XMatisse server that doesn't drive any output of any sort. And then you have the compositor here that takes the fix maps from the XMT server and then displays it with OpenGL and a bunch of transforms and whatnot. So it's all very, there's not really much to it. So now there's a demo. Demo time. Alright, so if any of you want to try this at home, there is absolutely no problem. This is a box standard Mandriva 2008, which was released like 2 months ago. During the install, it's going to actually ask you if you want to install Matisse. Just click yes, and you'll have this like all put up on the demo. Any effort on your part. So, one of the basic operations you can do with Matisse. First, I'll get more convenient. Is window transformations. So it's a basic, very basic transformation. You can rotate the windows around pretty much any axis you would think of. This seems rather trivial to do. Basically, you can do any sort of OpenGL transformation on your windows. And while Windows are in a rotated state, you can still work on, you can basically do anything you want. Everything still works as it should. So, menus, drop-downs, pop-up menus, they'll work. So this is not very useful script for us. I'll grant you that. Rotating and some rotations are really useless. But another thing you can do is scale. This is actually much more interesting. So this is like this is not resizing. This is really scaling. So again, this you get for free out of the OpenGL transcript. You're going to tell me, what's the point of scaling? Everyone can resize, or there's no real point in that. But an interesting thing you can do, really, is that you can get Zoom for free out of this too. And this is really interesting when you have old legacy applications, and you have this big 30-inch Apple screen, Apple Cinema display, which is like 2,000 pixels wide by 1,000 pixels, and you have this tiny motif application, which you can't scale, which you can't resize, but you can scale it with that, and the application doesn't even know it's being rescaled. So this is an interesting feature for accessibility, and just sometimes you might want to zoom in on something. So this is something you can do. Another operation you can do is when you have multiple windows overlapping, you can fold windows to see what's beneath it. Again, that's not very useful. It's kind of like this flashy demo. But this is just to show you, this is one of the things that, you know, the team looks at, and I mean, I don't know if it's useful for anybody. It's definitely not very useful for me as it is, but someone might find it useful in another context. So this is one of the possibilities that Matisse has. And actually, so this folding technique on its own is not very useful, but it does have one nice application, which is copy pasting. So, for instance, if you run, I don't know. Let's just say you want to copy some data, and you have overlapping windows. You can start a drag and drop a selection operation from your terminal, and the window will fold, bringing this one to the top. And once you release your mouse button, the window comes back and jumps back and unrolls, and you can paste again. So this might seem really trivial, but in tests that were done by the team, this is actually the faster way of doing copy-pasting. Again, copy-pasting seems really trivial, but if you're an office worker, this is something you'll do. This is not something that we programmers do much, but office workers might do this thousands of times every day. And so even like a 0.1 second increase could be worth something for them. So this is the kind of interaction techniques that the Matisse is all about. It's really interactions between windows. It's not really targeted at inside what's going on inside the windows. Another feature of Matisse is based on the FBWM pager. So we have a standard, I don't know if you guys can see it, we have this standard FBWM pager here, which we have extended. So FBWM uses pages rather than desktops. This is an old X difference. Basically, there are subtle differences between virtual pages and virtual desktops. Once you use virtual pages, you still get to keep your windows around, that's one of the features. And using this pager, we have the global desktop view. This is really another feature specific to Matisse, is that you can still interact with Windows when you're in the global desktop view. You can move Windows around. You can change your desktops and have menus. You might even want to zoom in and have your Windows while watching everything else. This is the kind of things that you can do. What else? Zoom right back in. Another feature of Matisse when it comes to window management is we call that feature facade. So a feature of Matisse is basically modifying existing applications without their consent. For instance, I'll take GIMP for the sake of simplicity, but imagine an application like Photoshop on Windows that has thousands of dialogues, thousands of menus, pop-ups, whatever, and you can't really, it's really hard to configure. So one thing that Facade implements is basically copy-pasting elements of the UI into their own application, into their own windows. So, for instance, let's just say I'm working on a, I just want to use some tools that the GIMP provides. I'll just copy paste them, really. See, I'll select them and I'll basically create a new window. So the GIMP has no clue what's going on here, really. I'm just taking out its buttons and it's not, I'm not asking for permission. So, I'll just. So now I have my own toolbar, which I can use. It's completely functional. I can select the buttons, and you will notice that it's actually really a copy. So when I click here, in reality, it's like I clicked here, and vice versa. There's no distinction between the two. This is really a clone. We're really cloning elements of the UI, and a nice feature of that is that you can. You can save. Yeah, it had already prepared one. So you can have multiple facades available at any given time. And then you can use. Again, imagine you have. You have this this huge display. You might have all your expanded GIMP menus on the side, and then you'll have just the bits and pieces that you're really interested in on the other side with your window on the other side. So you can really arrange your desktop the way you want it, and not the way the application designer. Really wanted you to. So this is really, you don't have to write any Gimpu extensions or Firefox extensions in JavaScript for even heaven's sake, in OpenOffice writing C++ code. This is just standard X. So another interesting thing we have in Matisse is bimanual interaction. So basically, yes,
today. Can you close the other widget and have the new one which are functional?
Which one?
Okay. It's supposed to be original tool.
The original, then
well,
it's going
to the other one.
No, it's this is based on the compiler. So if I close the GIMP, this doesn't exist anymore.
But could hide the other way.
Yes, that you can do. You can hide the there's an option. I don't really handle it really well, but the compositor can hide the original window. Yes.
What did you happen to resize the GIMP window?
That is tricky. If you use the accessibility, I don't know if you've noticed, but when I was selecting the buttons out here, there was window snapping. And that uses the accessibility toolkit for inside GNOME. And when this is enabled, if some stretching is allowed, because they can keep track of the actual widget. But if you're using plain X, then you don't know what a widget is. There's actually no notion of widgets. So there's no, you don't know when the widget is resized. So yeah, you're screwed. See, it still works, but it would be out. So yeah, bimanual interaction. So basically it means using both hands. For instance, this is getting a pretty standard configuration. You have a laptop, and then you have a mouse. So more and more users are actually going to have a touchpad and an external mouse. So this is already becoming a very standard setup. So there's there are ways to explore bimanual interactions. So one of the things you can do is what's called a tool glass. So a tool glass. Clean it up a bit. So basically, a tool glass is a window that you can control with your mouse. So basically, see, I have my USB mouse that's on the side. It still controls the cursor, and I have my touchpad that's been detached from X operation from the pointer. And I can all right, there's this button. I should have checked before. And so once you have it, really, I'm really sorry. The two are supposed to be entirely independent. I should have checked. And so you can have you can control this tool glass with your left hand, and you can control the cursor with your right hand. So of course, most people are going to wonder, I mean, what's the point of controlling two things at the same time? And most people don't. I mean, the point is not controlling two things at the same time, doing two things at the same time. The point of bimanual interaction is mostly to control one, is to use both hands, not at the same time, but still use both hands. And so this way you can position the tool glass with your left hand, and then once you're done positioning your tool glass, you can use your right hand, which was just still controlling the cursor, which was not far away, and do two operations like this in one. So for instance here, I will select the paintbrush, and with one click, I can start drawing, and with another click, I can start drawing in green. So this way, I can draw, and if I can move the. I realize the two are supposed to be entirely independent, but I screwed up. I'm sorry about that. So this is this is something that you can do, or you can have two cursors. One that you will leave on the, for instance, one that you will leave around here, and one that you will keep on your drawing area, and you can control both. So this is Peter Hutter has been working on MPX, and at the end of his talk, the talk that he did at LCA a few weeks ago, he was wondering what kind of things that you can do with MPX. So this is one of the possibilities that you can do with MPX. There are thousands of other things, but this is one. One thing that's really interesting about using X for this is that X is really, really flexible when it's the X protocol and X applications and overall the overall architecture of X is really flexible. So this is really one great tribute to the X community, because when you read HCI papers, for instance, at SIGCHI, US, and all these conferences. For instance, this bimanual interaction called the tool glass, that was a paper that was written in 1995. And no one has ever implemented it, because you can't do it on Windows, you can't do it on Mac. And Linux, Unix, and X is basically the only system that allows you to create such hacks. And so this is one thing that's really important for X in general, is that X is a great research platform that is so much more open than anything else available for researchers. So this is really an important aspect. Another interesting feature of Matisse is window. It's actually an extension of the facade feature I just showed you earlier. And it's window duplication. Imagine for a second that this is one thing that HCI researchers are actually looking at into. This is like the hot new thing. It's a table like Microsoft Surfaces. So it's like an LCD screen with touch sensors on top of it. So imagine that you have you're working on a table, and then so the screen is laid in front of you horizontally. And imagine there's a colleague that comes up in front of you, and you want to work on something with him, or you want to share an application. You just want to work, do some collaborative features. So, for instance, you can duplicate a window, and you can give him that window, basically. And since he's on the other side, where you can make it, he's standing right in front of you. So you guys, and with the MPX feature, unfortunately it's no longer working, you can give him a cursor, and you guys can both work at the same time on the same window. And this is Totem, but it works with Firefox or Xterm or whatever. So basically, you can have collaborative features for free inside Matisse. So yeah, most people are actually developing collaborative features inside Abby Word, using XMPP and Telepathy and whatnot. But you can get it for free using X. X does this, so why not use it? So see if you resize Windows. So if you resize, see that it works, but it's there are issues. Any questions before I move on? So yeah, Matisse, what's coming up in the next couple of months and weeks and years? I've been starting work on a configuration interface, put in some expose-like features. This is something that people are getting used to, so we're going to put it in. Maybe work on some free desktop integration using standard configuration tools and stuff like that. And one of the most important parts that I want to work on is Xorg integration, because right now Matisse does some stuff, but it does it on its own. And some things are hacks, and some things really belong into Xorg. And the two colleagues that work